One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I realize that I fly the flag that'll be shot down by many people before I'm through preaching tonight. I know that I'll be branded unpatriotic. I'm going to share a number of things with you. We're going to be looking in the book of Romans in a moment, and also in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. I begin the message by reading a letter. I'm writing this letter from a mental hospital, somebody said. Please do your best to fix it up for the column. I have something to say to all kids who think they can fool around with drugs and come out okay. Some can, but some can't. I doubt that. Nobody can. I'm a 15-year-old girl who's strung out from one trip, just one trip. Maybe I'm washed up for keeps. The doctors don't know yet. It seems like something has happened to my eyes. I started blowing grass 2 years ago, and it didn't do much for me. We called it the don't give a certain grass. That's about it. They said, you don't care when you get taken. You heard the boy, didn't you? Said, I don't care. That's what dope does to them. They don't care. They don't care for mother. They don't care for daddy. They don't care for God. They don't care for the Bible. I don't care. That's the theme song of this nasty generation right now. I don't care. I've heard that so many times as I've interviewed the new girls, and they said it's a I don't care weed. That's about the best description I know of, she said. A 17-year-old boy talked me into trying LSD. He said he's been on a couple of dozen trips, and it was a wild groove, the greatest. My first trip will be my last. It was a bummer, and I'm fighting like crazy to make it back. I felt as if I was riding on the back of a rocket, and suddenly the rocket exploded and me with it. My folks have been wonderful. I only hope I can get it all together, make up for the hell I'm putting them through. Funny how I never gave them a thought. In fact, I'm thinking about a lot of things I never thought about before. I'm typing this on a portable typewriter the nurses put on the food tray. Please correct the mistakes and print it. And there she is, has lost her mind, and at least most of it, and trying to make a comeback. I'm talking about my nation tonight. Here's the story, printed in the scavenger sheet known as the Daily Paper. This is the head of the Rolling Stones. He looks like the devil himself. And that's a compliment to him because he said, I was christened the devil. Right in this article, right here. In the late 60s, Jagger became or was christened the devil. And yet in 8 weeks, his gate receipts were $3 million. The fools gave him his $3 million. I'm asking Christians. The devil's crowd and the devil's kids gave him his $3 million and gave it to him in 3 weeks. I'm talking about my country tonight and what's going on in it. Miss Nobody, there she is, a very beautiful girl. Miss Nobody has her name back. She lost it the day a drug overdose took her life in a Miami motel room. The county medical examiner's staff was determined not to bury the pretty hazel-eyed teenager until it exhausted all possibilities of finding her family. As supervisor of investigation, said, we've never buried one that young without knowing who she is. I just absolutely refuse to bury one so young in the county cemetery. It must be terrible for the parents not to know what's become of their daughter. One day after a newspaper report was published about Miss Nobody, the tearful mother telephoned police and said, "I think that's my daughter." A few hours after, she gives the name, but I'll not call it. Called the police. Her husband arrived at the county morgue, and the search was all over. It was her daughter. "What can I do?" she said, brushing tears from her eyes. Notice, she had no problems at school, none here at home either. "I feel like kicking a hole in the wall." Police found the girl sprawled on her deathbed with the left sleeve of her blue flowery print blouse unbuttoned. A syringe was on a shelf, foil packets torn in two, and a Venetian blind cord, apparently to tie off a vein, were scattered around the room. Those were the clues to her death. I'm talking about what's going on in my nation tonight. You reckon God's given us up? Is there any hope? Girls seeking summer fun ends up dead. The boyfriend hangs himself. And two more have gone. One, evidently, he gave her the overdose that she took and she died. They took him to jail and he hung himself in a lonely cell. That happened in our nation. Are you ready? Here's your other picture I've been predicting for years was coming. Holbrook creates Homo Dad Row. This is being made ready now for your television sets. Homosexuality. Holbrook believes it's a good thing for the public to get to know, through TV, a representative homosexual. And you notice the paper's rather liberal with their publication and with their publicity. Anything bad you can get in the paper, that's happening in our nation. Churchmen trying to inject new life into dull sermons. The standard old channel of church communications, the sermon, is coming in for some hard knocks these days. But efforts also are going on to beef it up. Varying approaches to the matter ranges from steps to put more quality into pulpit preaching to experiments with scrapping it entirely. Give it up. Preaching's not getting the job done, he said. Many parishes are trying new methods as sermon substitutes, such as dialogues with the congregation, multimedia presentations, dramatic skits. Some pastors to fill the spot subscribe to canned sermons. Although preaching used to be a minimal aspect of Roman Catholic services, while Protestants put prime emphasis on it, this difference has faded away. The Catholics, he said, are trying to preach again. Sometimes in both traditions, the sermon gets partly sidelined by the current of new techniques, jazz, dramatic readings, interpretative dancing, and discussions are replacing the sermon in some churches. And that's happening in America. Demand decency, right, CBS. The X-rated, that's what I've been saying, the X-rated pictures are now on the television screen. That's happening in America. Here's a long spread announcing false religion, the door knockers, the peddlers of many books, and this tells their story. This, my personal interview with the minister of Satan, and the paper was liberal with a mighty spread. I believe before I bring the message tonight, I ought to share what Satan worship is according to the representative of it. Weird and loathsome is the way one visitor to the First National Church of Satan described her impressions, and a personal interview I had with the church's high priest more than confirmed this feeling. Seated on a black chair, robed in black, flanked by an ancient skull and an impressive collection of books on ritual magic, was more than willing to submit to a number of questions directed at exposing the true nature of the radically new venture of the Prince of Darkness. He laughed heartily when I asked him the reasons for the existence of his church. "I believe that we're all Satanists," he pointed out, "building a philosophical base for our interview at least, if not 7 days a week, then perhaps 1 or 2 days a week." His advocates have been practically non-existent. For centuries now, it has been believed that anything that a person does for self-sustenance, enjoyment, or pleasure is wrong. All of these so-called sins have been invented by the churches to assure guilt feelings on the part of the sinner. A true Satanist believes in God, but as a force, a reckoning device, which balances the universe. God is a very powerful action and reaction device, but is not concerned whether people suffer pain or pleasure, whether they live or die, whether humans or animals are in misery and torment or in love. God is a force. Satan is the embodiment of all that we're concerned with on this earth. The doctrines of our church are as follows. Satan represents indulgence instead of abstinence. Satan represents vital existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Satan represents undeviled or unhypocritical wisdom instead of that of hypocritical self-deceit. Satan represents kindness to those who deserve kindness instead of love wasted on ingrates. Satan represents responsibilities to those responsible instead of concerns for psychic vampires. Satan represents man as just another animal. Sometimes better, but more often worse than those that walk on their all fours. Who, because of this so-called spiritual development, has become the most obnoxious and vicious animal of all. Satan, of course, represents all the so-called sins and virtues as they all lead to physical and mental gratification. Through Satanism, man's rightful place in nature is refound. We're no longer suffocating weaklings groping in the dust, beseeching God to throw us a crumb of mercy. As sorcerers and sorceresses, we're strong. The knowledge of the left-hand path, the way of Satan, has not been lost throughout the ages. With our power and knowledge, we now command our God, Satan. A Satanist worships nature in its majesty, and by doing so, he sanctifies himself and his natural humanity. "To say that I'm possessed of the devil would be incorrect," he replied. "I'm in league with the devil, and as such, I am a child of the devil. You can compare me to the Pope. He claims to represent Christ. I claim to represent Lucifer. I'm proud of this distinction. I transmit my new nature to my followers. When people join my church, they become more evil, because they learn how to become evil in a more effective way. Evil is just and right. Evil spelled backward is live, L-I-V-E. And to us, this life represents Satanism. We believe that only those who fully give themselves to Satan have any chance of returning afterward. Are you in regular contact with your master?" LaVey nodded emphatically. "Yes, I can force Satan to do anything that I want. Because as long as he dwells within me, within my body, I'm forcing myself. I'm Satan. Satan is I. I am in regular contact with Satan also through my own actions and certainly through practice and of what I preach. Prayer is something I certainly don't believe in. Prayer to a Satanist is a nasty word. The true Satanist commands his God or simply states what he wants to have. He faces the west. It's a good way to go. That's sundown for him. I'm facing the east where the sun comes up." Going on, "We've been officially recognized by the state of California as a church. And as such, we're authorized to perform marriages and baptisms in the name of Satan. Our wedding ceremony consists of the invocation, our reading a hymn to Satan, and a very simple invocation to the gods of pleasure. There are no vows like I do. The only vow made is the intent. Just wanting to stay with one another for a reasonable length of time is sufficient grounds for marriage under Satanism. We dedicate our children to Satan. Since my original interview, the Church of Satan has published the Satanic Bible, listing all the satanic revelations. Among the latter, The book of Satan contains the most blasphemous principles ever transmitted through a human medium. The following 10 statements are representative of the devil's doctrines. I just give you a few of them. I dip my forefinger in the watery blood of your impotent and mad Redeemer, and write over his thorn-torn brow, the true prince of evil, the king of the slaves. That's what he thinks about our Savior. Behold the crucifix. What does it symbolize? Pallid incompetence hanging on a tree. Number 9, there is no heaven of glory bright, and no hell where sinners roast. Here and now is our day of torment. Here and now is our day of joy. Here and now is our opportunity. Choose you this day, this hour, for no Redeemer liveth. Number 10, say unto thine own heart, I am mine own Redeemer. There is no doubt that the emergence of this satanic movement is in direct fulfillment of some people that have been reading the Bible. It said, in the last days, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we're there now. Did you know that this article says that no major American city is without a Satan's church? Thousands of people, and he says so in the article, many are writing in saying, we'd like to start one of those churches. What is going to happen to America? Another article, not to take time, it happened in Houston, Texas. Two men have just been married. One of them wore a veil and a 15-foot bridal train. Are you listening? They got a license, and the judge said, it's legal. We've legalized two things in America. We've legalized Satan worship. We've legalized homosexuality. And that's what God burned a couple of cities off of the map for. Are you ready for the scripture found in Romans chapter 1? Question tonight is, will America be spared? Let me preface the rest of the message by saying, America has already existed a lot longer than most nations as immoral as America is. I think she's passed a long while ago her deadline. Her sentence has been pronounced, and the execution day is rolling around. Since God doesn't change his mind about sin, about individuals, about homes, about churches, about nations, then it seems to me that America is coming up to the judgment bar. I begin reading with verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And I leave that verse and skip, because of the lack of time, to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. America is without excuse. No nation has ever had the gospel light like America. Christian schools in almost every county, churches located everywhere. And yet, we find ourselves in the depths of sin. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. The Bible said they'll be unthankful and unholy. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, not love, lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for our other scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Turn with me, please, I think, to one other passage of Scripture. Book of Luke, chapter 17, beginning at verse 26, and we'll see if this relates to our day. And as it was, that's Luke 17, 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Sodom and Gomorrah were characterized with wrong relationships that God talks about in the book of Romans chapter 1 when he said, I'll give you up, I'll give you up, I'll give you up. Three times God said, I'll give you up. Let me ask you a question. If you were to read the decline and fall of the Roman Empire by Mr. Gibbons, the great historian, they give five causes for the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. And we are guilty of every one of them.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today is entitled, What's Going On in My Nation? If you would like to have this on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO2484. 2484. It is important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of $10 to cover that. And our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar program, and also we entitle it Letter Month.
It's also the month that Brother Rolf really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar Program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here is from Dallas, Texas, said, "Friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you." And we love that message also, my friend. Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway. That's a beautiful title. "I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all." And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years, and maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled, "Faith, the Second Greatest Gift." This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, "What does faith have to offer?" And, "Where can I get faith?" "How do I use it?" Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.